We're back in Exodus for the next of the Ten Commandments. Let's pray before we read God's Word. Lord, thank you that you have revealed to us so much about who you are, about how you want us to live. Help us to understand the deeper aspects of these principles. And be with Dana as he works to explain how we can live, how we can love, how we can follow you more closely. In Jesus' name, amen. Exodus 20:13. You shall not murder. Genesis 4:4-8. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. And from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5:21-26, "You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'You shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment.' But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, 'Raca,' is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, 'You fool,' will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift on the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny."
Set a timer for myself, but we're just going to shoot for the top of the clock. Try not to overdo it or underdo it this morning. Thanks, Crystal, for your sermon last week. And what Crystal did that helped me as a listener as she was preaching through this touchy subject was describe the process that happens that takes two people who make vows of love to one another, and maybe one of them becomes an adulterer. You don't really, if you're just looking for a chance to cheat on somebody, you don't bother with marriage. You get married to stay faithful, but something happens. Something happens in your heart, something happens in your circumstances, one thing leads to another, and then something terrible happens. It brings a lot of hurt. Well, so it is with murder. And I don't have the advantage of preaching to a penitentiary this morning, preaching to the sweet Presbyterians in the sweet Presbyterian church. So how are we going to find anything that relates to us on this topic today? Thank you, Jesus, for pointing out that anger is murder in the heart, certain kind of anger, and that there's a process. There's a process that goes from offense to anger to murder. It's a process that we see in the account of Cain. Cain was the eldest, the firstborn son, and he was the president of the corporation among the siblings. The audience in Moses' time that would have heard the Genesis account would have immediately thought, "Oh, Cain, the firstborn, if his little baby brother, little runny-nosed brother, would have done a right offering and his would have been rejected, oh, you know he'd be mad." So the process that ends in murder starts with pride. It starts with pride, and then it moves to contempt. Well, maybe the contempt was there first. Because the offering that Cain gave, we don't know exactly what was wrong with it. There's a lot of guesses, and maybe I have a best guess somewhere in there. But let's just say it was an offering that was not a do right offering. Listen to this. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? God said to Cain. Something in the offering was not doing what was right. Why wasn't he doing what was right toward the Lord? Because there was contempt in his heart. There was a lack of honor in his heart toward the Lord. There's pride. There's contempt. And then there's anger. With the anger is jealousy and shame and walking in rejection. Then there is temptation. And the way the Lord describes this temptation is the Lord compares it to a dangerous predator. I hope you've never been hiking and had a bear following you, right? Or a cougar following you. Well, and I hope you've never been in Africa and had a lion chasing you. There was a kid in my youth group in Seattle who was chased by a lion, ended up in a tree. That is scary. Those are dangerous predators. Well, a lion doesn't just look at 1,000 zebras and say, time to eat, and start running from 500 yards away. The lion notices the zebras and nonchalantly walks along in the perimeter, and then finds some grass and moves along behind the grass. An hour later, moves a little more. Bit by bit, the zebras need to eat, they need to drink, they can't sit there and look at a lion all day. So they don't notice the thing creeping up on them until finally the moment comes and it really starts to move quickly. So it is with this temptation. So it is with resentment. Cain had resentment. He had anger that was crouching at his door. He was angry, he was bitter, he was jealous, he was ashamed. And it kept moving in his heart. He didn't dismiss it. He didn't chase it away. It was crouching at his door, ready to pounce, and then it did. It moved quickly from being out in the field to killing, to murder. Now, okay, I'm thankful that I don't feel dangerous when I'm alone with any of you. There's no metal detector at our church doors. But have you ever been angry before? Now, I need to say that anger is a complicated emotion and sometimes a helpful emotion. It's not immediately sinful. I'm going to explain what Jesus said in a moment here. In Ephesians, it says, be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Don't be resentful. But it tells us that there's a way to be angry without sinning. And I believe it was my uncle, the therapist, that said this to me. Oh no, that was a different thing he said. Some other therapist said that anger is an indication that something is wrong, that action needs to be taken. So when you become angry, you need to know that you're angry, realize that you need to take action, and quickly dismiss the emotion. Don't walk in it. Don't walk in the shame. Don't walk in the aggression. Don't walk in the jealousy. Don't walk in the negative emotions. Know that they're there, and know that they say something needs to be done. That's what God said to Cain. Sin is crouching at your door, but you must master it. There's something you need to do. Do you know what Cain needed to do? He needed to make a right offering. He didn't need to kill his brother. Killing his brother didn't make his offering any better. But there are times when we will do that. You've heard the story of the painful family scenario when a demanding and perfectionist father is offended by his perfect son who suddenly runs off and joins the circus, and dad says, you're dead to me. That's murder in his heart. That's a dad who was angry and needed to take action. The action was maybe expressing his feelings to his son and letting go, letting his adult son be his adult son, or his child son be locked up in the house. You know, if the kid's under your roof, you can do something appropriate, but at night, what you need to do is let go. Instead, the father took an action of murder. So Cain needed to take action, but he took the wrong action. Alright, so anger is dangerous. And the anger that Jesus talked about wasn't just the anger of grief. That's what my wise uncle said. He said just what Jim said with the little happy faces. He said grief and anger are two sides of the same coin. Sometimes the action you need to take when you're angry is to be sad. To say, this is rotten. I hate it. This is awful. Why? And bring that grief to the Lord. Work through it. Grief is part of what we have as Christians, but we don't grieve as those who have no hope. We do grieve. Sometimes when we're angry, we need to grieve. And I want to say to those who are grieving today that anger is part of the process. But it's calling you to take the action of simply crying out to God and saying, why? Knowing that you've grieved. The anger that Jesus condemns is the anger that says, you fool, I hate you, I wish you were dead. That's murder. So, anger is a murderous emotion. It's a toxic emotion. And if it doesn't kill somebody else, it'll kill you. EverydayHealth.com gave me a neat, tidy little 7-point list that I'll share with you about how anger can kill you. When you have an angry outburst, the next 2 hours, your heart attack risk is doubled. When you have an angry outburst, the next 2 hours, your risk of stroke is tripled. When you even remember an angry event, for the next 6 hours, your immune system is lowered. There's a hint. Don't argue about COVID anymore. It just makes you sicker. All right? Don't let your immune system go down when you're worrying about a disease. That was just an extra side note there, extra credit. All right. Anger reduces your lung capacity and creates inflammation in your lungs. And anger, of course, shortens your lifespan. If it doesn't kill somebody else, it'll kill you. Anger is the emotion of murder. Anger is meant to lead us to take positive action and then be dismissed, or lead us to grieve and know that we're grieving. But it's not meant to make our decisions for us or lead us on a pathway to death. Look at the opposite pathway that Jesus takes. Jesus begins with humility. Now, Jesus is the firstborn over all creation, the uncreated firstborn. He's not a creature, but he's in the position of firstborn in the ancient Hebrew world. We don't understand that. It means that among all his siblings, he is the one with the authority. Among all people, Jesus is the King of Kings. All things have been given to the Son, the Scripture says. And yet, Jesus enters our world humbly as an ordinary man. Not only that, but he enters to give his life away. He starts with humility. And then, in his ministry, he gives a ministry of honor. Rather than giving an offering of contempt like Cain, a dishonoring offering, Jesus gives the offering of service that is honorable. He always looks at what his Father is doing. He says, I do nothing except what the Father is doing. He was the firstborn over all creation, and yet he humbled himself and would only minister in the way that God the Father called him to. And when Jesus was baptized for our sake, rather than Cain, opposite of Cain, who walked in rejection, Jesus walked in acceptance, and the Father said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased. Jesus was also gentle. The scripture that prophesied about him said, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. The scripture says, a gentle answer turns away wrath. If somebody is, quote, going off on you, if you want it to stop, the worst thing you could do is answer back in the same tone. The one thing that can slow down or stop an angry outburst is a gentle answer. Proverbs says a gentle answer turns away wrath. And Jesus' life was a gentle answer to turn away wrath. The wrath of God. God who is angry because we have murdered. Now look for a moment at the book of Genesis. Genesis means beginning, and this book is talking about how we got into this mess, how we got where we are. It starts with breaking the greatest commandment, the first commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. Mom and Pop did that. Adam and Eve just had one tree out of all the trees, one tree that was the don't eat of it tree. And they did not love the Lord their God, and they ate of it. And then one generation later, you have the second commandment, which is like it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And Cain murdered his brother. That's how we got into this mess. When Jesus makes his ministry a gentle answer that turns away wrath, it's the wrath of God for the whole sin of the whole world, breaking the greatest commandments, loving God and loving neighbor. And Jesus' story ends the way Cain and Abel ends, with a bloody murder. But it is not Jesus committing murder, but Jesus receiving murder to set the murderers free, to set us angry, resentful, jealous, spiteful, self-centered, proud people free. Jesus received a murder so that we, who are murderers in heart, would be set free. And Jesus changes our psychology. Jesus is a healer. You know what anger and contempt and jealousy and shame, you know what those are? Those are psychological terms. Those are things that have to do with our will and our emotions. Those are things that we go to a therapist to deal with. And when Jesus gives us a new spirit, when we're born again, when the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, takes away our heart of stone, our psychology of pride, contempt, jealousy, anger, shame, and gives us a heart of flesh, a psychology of humility, honor, acceptance, and gentleness, it comes because the Spirit of God that is good starts to change our will and our thoughts and emotions. And that's why we count to 10 and stop and think, and as Joyce Meyer says, let the emotions subside and then decide. The Spirit of God speaks to us and we change our psychology with God's help. Because God is a healer. People were complaining that Jesus was attracting the wrong crowd, and I believe that will happen for us too. I believe that will happen for us. God will grant us the grace to be complained about because sinners will come and worship here. But that's what was happening with Jesus. Horrible people were following around and loving him, and he didn't seem to be chasing them away very effectively. In fact, he was eating in their homes and letting them wash his feet with their tears. What was going on? Jesus said, it's not healthy people who need a doctor, but those who are sick. I've come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus called himself a doctor, and one of my favorite preachers calls the church the Holy Spirit Hospital. Jim Cimbala, Brooklyn Tabernacle, New York City. The church is the Holy Spirit Hospital, and guess who the physicians are? They're you and me. Now, do you want to go to a doctor who's a killer? Would you entrust yourself to a doctor who murders? So, would we want to be a church that's on the pathway to murder, filled with pride, contempt, anger, jealousy, walking in shame, walking in rejection, sin crouching at our door, not pushing it away, not rejecting it, holding on to resentment? Can we be healers when we're on the pathway to murder? No, we cannot. And this won't advertise very well, but I'm going to say it anyway. If you want prayer because the Lord's saying to you, you need to deal with something, after every sermon, after every service, I've got Stan and Jackie up here, and there'll be others too, and you can come to them and pray with them. Now that I said that, nobody's going to do it, but not this Sunday. But praise the Lord, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. And there are many times when I said, I'd rather be humiliated and get God's help than to let this moment pass. Amen. I'd rather be humiliated and get God's help than to let this opportunity pass. Help me, God. And I've done it. I've been humbled. I've gone to the front. And you can do it too. My friends, we need to be on the road to reconciliation. It starts with humility. It has honor for God. It walks in acceptance, God accepting you. It's gentle. And when somebody slaps us on one cheek, we offer the other cheek as well, because that's the way of Jesus. So my friend, it's time for us to ask ourselves what road we're on and to change it if we need to change it. If we're dealing with anger, frustration, bitterness, and there's good reasons to be dealing with that stuff, we need to address it. So here's my challenge to you, and it's a challenge that I tried myself. Find your top three triggers, your top three anger triggers. Write them down, memorize them. When I was a little kid, I had this saying, because I was the youngest, and whenever somebody, the grown-up, would say, you can't do that, you're not big enough, I'd say, I'm bigger enough, I can do it, you know. And so one of my little anger triggers is when somebody says, oh, you can't do that, or, you know, like, you're not capable, you're not good enough. Ooh, I don't like that. Even though I kind of sometimes come off as trying to appear humble. I still don't like that. I don't like it. I don't like it when people accuse me of wrong, evil in the heart. I don't like it when evil is accusing me, and I don't think it's there. But sometimes I got to take the challenge, the Cain challenge, and instead of having murder in my heart towards somebody that sees evil in me, I need to go to the Lord and say, I hate it, but there's evil in me. I need you to deal with it and help me. So find your three triggers and then go to the middle of the Bible. Psalms, P-S-A-L-M-S. Go to Psalms in the middle of the Bible and find three psalms that address your three triggers. The Bible, the Psalms in the Bible are filled with emotions, big emotions, high emotions, low emotions, angry emotions, sad emotions. And you will find what triggers you there. It'll take some work, but you can do it. When you find it, read it. And know that God wrote those words. God gave those words to you. God knows what your heart is like. God knows what it's like to be flesh and blood. God made you. He's given you a way to work these things through. So work them through. Do not embrace resentment and call it righteousness. Do not be on the road to murder and say you have a right to be there. Sin is crouching at your door. You must master it. Anger is a call to take action, either to grieve or to make a change. So may the Lord make you good doctors. May the Lord bring us the sick. May this be a Holy Spirit hospital. You know, the early church had physical healings. It's written. The history records it. And anytime anybody comes to Jesus, it's better than a physical healing because it's an eternal healing. So be ministers of reconciliation, and may the Lord give you great grace to walk in that. Amen.